This is Vatican Radio and I'm Lydia O'Kane. Campaigning in Pakistan has ended on the eve of a landmark election which has been marred with violence. Former Pakistan cricket star Imran Khan's party was enjoying a late surge of support Friday, raising the prospect of a fragmented parliament. The party of former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif looks set to win the most seats, returning Sharif to power 14 years after he was ousted in a military coup, imprisoned and later exiled. But Khan could end up holding the balance of power if there is no clear-cut winner. I spoke to Father Robert McCulloch, the Procurator General of the Missionary Society of St. Columban, about the challenges for the Christian community in this election.
It's an election that will mark the country's first successful transition from one civilian government to another in its 66-year history. However, we're looking again at Pakistan at the present time, and these elections have not been without a lot of violence.
I think the first point that you made there is that it's a very historic, significant event in the political life and of Pakistan as a nation, that there has been this successful completion by the previous government of 5 years of civilian government. And not only that, but there's been a successful transition leading into these elections. It's saying something about the maturing of the political process within Pakistan. I think it says a lot about the maturing of the understanding of the military, of its role within the fabric of the life of Pakistan, that it doesn't have to intervene when problem emerges or difficulties in the political arena emerge, because that's the responsibility of the political process to deal with it. And so there has been a very large growth in understanding of what the dynamics are between the military, between the government, the elected government, between the president and between the Supreme Court and the Chief Justice, the relationships and the interconnection of those. So that's the elections which are coming up. There has been an enormous amount of reported violence within the country, and it has been an attempt by extremists to undermine the political process. And I think, however, the conviction of people in Pakistan that the elections must take place, whatever, has been the element that's overridden the violence that's been present. I believe that the violence could have been much, much worse. There have been many people killed. There are people being kidnapped. Even just yesterday, the son of the former Prime Minister, Gilani, kidnapped from a political meeting during Multan. Now, who's behind that? There are many, many players in the political scene in Pakistan, both the scene that's on the top and the scene that's beneath the. And it would be incorrect just simply to assume that this is the action of a group of religious extremists linked into the Taliban-styled, Al-Qaeda-styled elements and movements within Pakistan, which are a very destabilizing group at the present time. But there are enormous hostilities within the political parties themselves and political party to political party.
What is there to gain by doing this? What is there to gain by somebody kidnapping somebody else or blowing up something during an election season like this?
Threat, fear, driving people away from the ballot boxes. If they could drive people away from the ballot boxes, it means that they can put a question over the validity or the veracity or the of the election process that takes place. Stop candidates standing, that would be one thing. There's certain parties within the country that certainly have a clear, what we might call I don't like to use the word secular in that sense, because you don't have a completely secular dimension in any organisation within Pakistan. Some of the parties tend towards a less close affiliation and alignment with religious organisations within the country, such as the Pakistan People's Party and the MQM Party, which is the party really that is strongest in the southern province of Sindh. So you've got these tensions going on within the parties themselves and inside the parties themselves, various hostilities. I mean, is the kidnapping of this son of ex prime minister or former prime minister Gilani, is a possibility that it's not just politically motivated, but it's family motivated, or it's payback, or whatever it might be. So, the parameters of trying to explain these shouldn't simply be seen within the terms of the election process.
Let's turn to the Christian community in Pakistan and look at them with regard to these elections and look at the candidates themselves. Obviously, the Christians are looking to someone who will give them rights, who will help them. So who are the candidates that maybe they're looking to?
Well, I would say, first of all, there is a problem within Pakistan that they themselves are not organised sufficiently in their vote base to ensure that they can influence the elections, which they can now because it's a joint electorate. Some political commentators have pointed out that there are some 25 to 30 seats within Pakistan where the Christian vote in that area of 5,000 or more is sufficient to swing the election in that particular seat one way or the other. But because Christians are not united sufficiently, they're unable to exercise the powerful voice in deciding what would happen in, say, 25 to 30 seats, which is a very, very large block, which could actually decide which way a government went. So that's the first thing to note, this whole area of political disorganisation and awareness amongst Christians within the country. However, there are certain questions within the whole process. That when one looks at the stance of some of the parties, one has to consider, from the point of view of Christians, that on past records, on present rhetoric, what's going to be the result. Now, for instance, Imran Khan, in his party, a very, very charismatic leader, but he's a charismatic leader who will play any particular music to any particular audience which wants to hear that particular music, whether a particular message to the youth of the middle class, the emerging middle class in Karachi, he'll say one thing. To the people in the tribal areas and in the northwest frontier portion of Pakistan, he'll say another thing. And even more recently, just 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, at the southern Punjab town of Mianwali, he again resurrected the exclusivist and excluding rhetoric of the military dictator Zia-ul-Haq when he asked that famous question, Pakistan ka matlab kya, what's the meaning of Pakistan, and gave the Muslim kalima as the answer. In other words, saying the meaning of Pakistan is an Islamic state. So the uncertainties of Imran Khan pose a threat, I believe, to Christians in Pakistan. Where does the Pakistan Muslim League of Nawaz Sharif stand, who is possibly going to become the next president? Well, we must remember that when Nawaz Sharif was prime minister before the arrival of President Musharraf, he was the one that sought to include religion on the national identity cards, which would have become a means of clear discriminatory process against Christians, Hindus, anyone who was not a Muslim. He also tried to have himself declared as an Amir ul-Mu'mineen, in other words, something of a mini-caliph, a religious leader slash political leader within Pakistan. So this sort of rhetoric of that particular period, we just wonder and hope that it hasn't continued over into the political agenda of the leader of the PMLN. So that is a problem. There's uncertainties about that.
Looking at these elections, broadening it out to an international perspective, looking at the relationship between the US, US forces, NATO, how do you see it from that perspective?
Well, whoever becomes prime minister, whoever has control, leads the government and forms the government after these elections, will be the leader of Pakistan and the government of Pakistan that will have to deal with Pakistan post-NATO, post the United States, which are doing the withdrawal in 2014. At the present time, relationships between Pakistan and Afghanistan are suspicious, extremely suspicious of one another. Recent firing across the borders, Afghani troops and police firing across the border at one another. These sort of things don't augur very well. It will need a government of great maturity, wisdom and patience to relate to Afghanistan, and then also stand midway between Afghanistan and India. So it's not simply Pakistan internal issues that are involved in relationship to this election. Nawaz Sharif, who's the leader of the Pakistan Muslim League, has said that he is going to withdraw Pakistan from the American-led war on terror. Now, the implications of that in Pakistan internationally regarding relationship to Taliban, relationship to Al-Qaeda, that's one side. But the positive side about it is, I think many, many Pakistanis have become very, very impatient with other countries interfering within in the internal affairs of Pakistan. And I think the other side, this thing has to be interpreted properly to see that Nawaz Sharif is saying Pakistan is Pakistan, and we have our boundaries, we have our integrity, we have our problems, but we're a sovereign nation. And I believe that he's saying something that many, many Pakistanis have become very, very tired about, the involvement and over-involvement of other nations within the internal affairs of Pakistan.
You mentioned, just finally, you mentioned the Pakistani people. I just want to come to the Pakistani people now and just ask you what it is you think that they're looking for, because in many an election, people will want to look at the policies that the candidates are coming up with. They want to see how their lives will be made better. The situation for Pakistanis at the moment, is it a situation where they need assistance, talking about it from a poverty level? What do you think they need, and what do you think they really want from this election?
I think they want a government that will deal with the infrastructure of Pakistan to remedy major, major economic crises within the country that are impinging extraordinarily on the social fabric of the country. Probably the major issue that is impinging on people is having to endure 12 to 18 hours of electric failure throughout the country because dams haven't been built to develop hydropower. What this is doing is it's destroying the industries of Pakistan. And if you destroy the industries of Pakistan, like in Faisalabad in the Punjab, the fabric textile industry that's been destroyed there simply because there's no power to keep the looms going, it means that you've got whole industries closing down, markets are being lost. And this is, of course, increasing the high levels of unemployment within the country, which leads to instability. I think they want a government that will govern properly for the people by developing an infrastructure that cares for the needs of the people. Health needs to be improved. Education needs to be improved. I think there's a genuine need and a feeling within the country that they would like to have harmonious relationships with their neighbours, with India, with Afghanistan. Pakistanis are Pakistani. I mean, there's a pride of Pakistanis in being Pakistani. And at times, there's a sense of powerlessness that they have because a government which has taken power in their name is not ruling in their name and for them. So let's hope that we can have a qualitative and a quantitative improvement on that. I think one of the interesting things that's coming out of this election is the number of women who are standing as candidates in electorates where women have never stood before. There are certain areas of Pakistan where, even though women have the vote, they're not permitted by their family members, their male family members, or custom to vote. But I find that the increase, whether it's in the northern areas, whether it's in Balochistan, whether it's in the Punjab or in interior Sindh even, I think this is an interesting part of the maturing process in the political process in Pakistan.